This morning's sermon comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 17 through 26. And God's word reads, Cain was intimate with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain became the builder of a city, and he named the city Enoch after his son. Erad was born to Enoch. Erad fathered Mahujael. Mahujael fathered Methusael. And Methusael fathered Lamech. Lamech took two wives for himself, one named Ada and the other named Zillah. Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of the nomadic herdsmen. His brother was named Juba. He was the father of all who played the lyre and the flute. Zillah bore Tubal-Cain, who made all kinds of bronze and iron tools. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, pay attention to my words. For I killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is to be avenged seven times over, then for Lamech it will be 77 times. Adam was intimate with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has given me another child in the place of Abel, since Cain killed him. A son was born to Seth also, and he named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. This is God's word. You may be seated.
Is it? All right. I will be with it. We'll let it ride. Good evening, church. My name is Deshaun, and I have the pleasure this evening of being the first guest preacher at New City Fellowship. And I want to start off. I appreciate it. So it actually plays right into where I was about to go, because I want to start off this evening, because when I ever get to go and preach at different places, I get to enjoy the well wishes, the praises, the encouragement as I get to share in God's word. But often what's forgotten is my wife. And so I just want to take a moment to honor her for all that she does for me, supporting me, coming alongside. This is my boo. This is my baby. This is my wife, Bree, right here. Just wanted to take a moment to honor her in this moment. And so y'all ready to get into God's word tonight?
Yes.
All right. Before we do, I got a little pop quiz for you. Yeah. Who invented the first functioning air conditioner?
Air conditioner?
Air conditioner, AC. Anybody know who invented the first functioning one?
Do we know them?
Who is it? Who you said?
Nah. It's somebody from Florida.
Is it somebody from Florida?
Yes.
Anybody know their name? Nobody knows, right? His name was Willis Carrier back in 1902. Who created the World Wide Web, WWW? You might know who created that? Nobody, right?
No.
So named by the name of Tim Berners-Lee back in 1989. Let me try another one, one we all enjoy. Who created the first television? There's three different guys who did different things. You can name any of them. You might have anything? The first television. Charles Jenkins, back in 1922, did the first picture on a screen. John Baird in 1925 did the first moving screens. And then Philo Farnsworth is the one who created more of our functioning TVs. I begin here this evening because with these inventions, we use these on a daily basis. We use AC, we use the internet, we use our TVs, and these are things that we feel when their presence is gone. But none of you guys even knew the men who created them. You didn't even know their names. Their names don't even mean anything to you. And I'm gonna go out on a limb and guess that none of us are going to ever create something like an internet or TV or the AC for all of the world to enjoy. But the problem is, we're told so often that what matters most is that we have to make a name for ourselves, because if we do something great, then we'll be remembered. Yeah. Then we'll be known. Then people will love us and never forget us. But as I just showed from just a couple of things that we use every day and at this moment we're enjoying the benefits of, and we don't remember their names. And so in our efforts to make a name for ourselves, we forget the name that we actually should be making much of. We forget the one who we should be exalting, who we should be praising, who all of our aim should be for in our desires to make a name for ourselves. And again, we could go with example after example after example, men and women through history who have done amazing things that you would never know their names. And so as we pick back up in Genesis chapter 4, my question for all of us tonight is a simple but needed one. And this question is not just for you individually, but collectively as a new church in New City Fellowship. The question is this: is your aim to make a name based upon your fame or bring glory to Christ in His name? I'm gonna ask that one more time. Is your aim to make a name based upon your fame, or is it to bring glory to Christ and His name? This question is needed because we will be remembered for something. We will leave some legacy behind, and my hope and my prayer for each of you here today, not just individually, but collectively, when the story is told of this church, what will be said of it is not that they made themselves big and everybody knew of their name, but Christ was exalted and His name was made known through this city because of what He's doing here. And so with all that being said, pray with me as we get ready to jump into our text for tonight. Father, we thank You so much for this evening and just the ability to slow down and consider Your word, especially in a time, Lord, where there's so much around us, so much within us, Lord, that says what matters most is that My name is remembered, that people know when they hear of My name of all the great things that we have done. And Lord, as we've seen and we'll see for the rest as we live through our lives, Lord, and on this earth, that names come and go and are forgotten. But the one name from the beginning people have been calling upon is still the same name that we call upon today. And so, Lord, help us to see what matters most is not our own glory and fame, but the praise of Your name. Help us in that this evening, Lord Jesus. Amen. So if you guys can turn with me, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 4 at the back half, starting in verse 17. And so we pick up in this series in Genesis, where last week where Pastor Justin was unpacking one of the most famous texts, as we see the story of Cain and Abel, and in particular, how in Genesis it talks to us about the nature of sin. And sin's desire to destroy us, sin's desire to take us, and how we all are honestly susceptible to it. And so we pick up now, after the Lord has given protection to Cain, we see what comes about for Cain in verse 17 of chapter 4. And it begins off like this. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And so we begin off in these first five verses as we're looking at this concept of this name being made known in contrast to the Lord's name being made known in this first section of seeing how is Cain's lineage seen and known throughout this book. And so when we begin off here in verse 17, it says that Cain knew his wife. And this question naturally brings up more questions for us. And if you've been around the church, you've heard people try to say why we shouldn't trust in the Bible. This is one of the reasons and one of the places that they go. They say, well, who is Cain's wife? Where did this wife come from? Where did this person come from? We only know about Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve. These are the only names that have been mentioned so far. And this question, I think, is a good one for us to see, not because of within it itself, but it also helps us to understand what God's word is doing and also the reasons why we can trust in it. And so I want us to explore this question briefly and begin off with the Bible is not meant to explain every single detail of everything that has happened in every single moment, but the authors are writing with a particular purpose to a particular people. And so there are details that they are focusing in on. For example, as we see, John makes this explicit when he says this in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And so John intentionally tells us there's much more stuff that he could have written about, but he has chosen to focus in on so that you may believe. And he tells us that in 21:25, that there are many other things that Jesus did. You could fill up all the books of the earth, he supposes, if you were to try to write them down. And so we see John states this for us explicitly, and we recognize this implicitly from Moses. That Moses' intention here when he is writing the book of Genesis, not to give a detailed about every single thing that is happening, but he's writing to the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness, recounting the faithfulness of God. And so he highlights these details. And then also, if we just look with a little context, it helps us too in the next chapter in verse 3 and 4 and in verse 2. It tells us that Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters, even though we don't know all of their names. And so why I start there as we look at this is because with a little context and knowing about the purpose, we can know there is no difficulty in this passage.
That's right.
There is no difficulty with this, and it can help us when we run into these moments and people throw up a TikTok about how you can't trust in the Bible because of these minute details that if you just kept reading, you would see there's answers right there. And so it gives us confidence and assurance that God's word is dealing with us rightly, even if it's not touching on every detail.
That's good.
And so as we see here, Cain knew his wife and they bore a son by the name of Enoch. And so Cain is beginning to build a city and he names it after his son. And so although he is suffering the consequences for his sin, God is still preserving and giving him a family. And in this verse, we also see for the first of seven times this word name. And that's why we're focusing so much tonight on making a name, because for the first time in this section, it's speaking about the name that Cain gives to the city. And so Cain's family begins to make a name for themselves. And as we will see, his family are innovators of society. So look at me at the rest of 18 through 22. It says, "To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mahujal, and Mahujal fathered Methuselah, and Methuselah fathered Lamech, and Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other, Zillah." And so in verse 18, we encounter that section of scripture that if we're honest, when we're going through that Bible reading plan, we see the genealogies, we skip right over because I don't really see the value in it. I'm trying to walk through it. I see that there's all these names that I cannot pronounce. I don't know who they are. So we just skip over this section. My hope, my prayer is that as you look at genealogies from now on, you'll see them as gifts from the Lord. You'll see them as the Lord working through history. You'll see them as God's use of imperfect people. You'll see them as God's grace to his people. You'll see them as his ability to fulfill what he says he will do. You will see these as the historical accuracy of God's word. These genealogies are tracking for us this line to God to say he's going to do something through a particular people, and the way that we can track much of this, and we'll see this at the end, is through these genealogies. So my encouragement for you tonight, next time we hit that portion in the Bible reading plan, to slow down in those. Hop on Google for a moment to just see who are all these people being mentioned. Why does the Lord care that these details are here? And we're going to see how important this is as we come to the last line. But let's continue on at the first character who's mentioned in Cain's line that has a little bit more details than Lamech. So in verse 19, it speaks of him and it says that Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Adah and the name of the other Zillah. So we meet this man who is highlighted, and he's highlighted for a number of wrong reasons, as we'll see. But his first one is he is the first, at least recorded, polygamist. He's the first one to have multiple wives. And so we see this mentioned about Lamech. And as we're going to see in his section in the next couple of verses, what sin is doing that starts off in the garden is moving through the people, and it keeps getting worse. So much so, as we'll see with Noah, is that the Lord says no more. And so we see this continuing on, that as sin is spreading, it is spreading in so many different ways. And we begin, as we see here with Lamech, that he is taking multiple wives. And then we see from his people, his children, starting in verse 20, it says, Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and who have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And so civilization begins to grow beyond the garden. So even in the restlessness, there's music. There's tent making, there's farming, there's development of bronze and iron, and Cain's people are fulfilling what the Lord told Adam and Eve to do, to go and subdue the earth. So we see them doing this. So there's a mercy from the Lord even upon Cain and his rebellion towards his people to create civilization. And so we even see here that civilization is a gift from the Lord, that it restrains evil to some degree. Because as we'll see in the provisions of governments, the ordering of societies, that's a place where people can't do what they want, whenever they want, and however they want. And so this is beginning a society, and a city is getting established through Cain's lineage. This is what theologians call God's common grace to the people. And so I want to point out something, even in the midst of these good gifts that they're experiencing, they're innovators, they're creative, they're great pioneers, but it says nothing of them having any regard for the name of the Lord. And so what this teaches us, and it honestly points out a misconception, is that sometimes we believe that success equals God's favor and difficulty equals his displeasure, but the reality is that you can accomplish many things upon this earth with no regard for the Lord.
That's right. Wow. That's right.
Yeah. You can do these things. You can build societies, make a name for yourself, gain wealth, all these different things completely devoid of the Lord. And that's the danger in it. Because we can think there's security because it seems like we're doing well. And as we even see here, there's no regard, no mention, no name of the Lord being with them in this way. They're accomplishing these things. And so when we center on our own fame and esteem and we get lost in it because we say, well, God must be with me because it seems to be doing well, that's a dangerous road to be upon. And so we see this in Cain's lineage. And now we turn from Cain's name to now Lamech's shame in verse 23. It says, Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. So polygamy, violence, brutality, self-assertion are all displayed by Lamech. He lets it be known of what he has done, and so much so that in his forefather in Cain, who succumbed to his sin. Lamech is exulting in it. He is making it known of what he is doing. He's singing of having multiple women, the revenge that he's gotten, and how essentially, if it was bad, if you mess with Cain, it is 10 times worse if you mess with him. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And so we see in this song of Lamech where his heart is. And look at that. He says, if one for Cain is sevenfold, it should be 77-fold, which shows us he has a full awareness of what happened with his forefather. He knew this is not what you should do. You should not murder. And he knows that is what he got. So how much more so him? And so we see he's presuming upon God's divine grace. Because again, something is noticeably absent. With Cain, it was the Lord who was the one that said, I will show favor and protect you. And this one, Lamech says, I'm going to have that favor. But with no regard for the Lord. And so Lamech is either presuming upon God's grace, or even worse, he's making a mockery of it. And so when he should have been humbled, he's boastful, he's arrogant, he's unrepentant. And he demonstrates this shame of glorying in our sins. But before we look at Lamech and say, how dare he? How could he do that? There's something wrong with him. I think we have to also examine our own hearts. And ask ourselves this question. Do we seek to boast in the things that the Lord says are wrong and shameful? And I know at first thought, we're not going to do what Lamech did. We're not going to have multiple wives. We're not going to murder someone. But often our sins in the church can look good on the outside, but under the surface, they're still sins nonetheless.
That's right.
And so often things don't come in that same way that we see in with Lamech, but they seep through in what Jerry Bridges calls the respectable sins. These are those sins we speak of more openly, because we say, well, everybody struggles with it, or nobody's going to judge me if I talk about this. Let me give you some examples. For example, ungratefulness turns into, I'm just being real about my situation.
Come on now.
Or the workaholic becomes someone who's just on their grind.
That's right.
Or the one who is gluttonous is just a foodie. Or the most respectable and pervasive one is that gossip just becomes a prayer request for somebody that's in need. And so we paint these sins in these different ways, and we talk about them, and we enjoy them, and we act as if there's nothing wrong with it. And so, and though we may not do exactly what Lamech has done, it's no different. And so Lamech is a warning, but also a heart check for us. Do you glory in your own shame so that you may make a name? And so, as we have been looking at Cain's name, then Lamech's shame, we now turn to God's fame in these last two verses. It says this in verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. And so this passage closes out this chapter, which began with Adam knowing his wife, and Cain came forth. And now here, with the birth of Seth, again, Adam knowing his wife, but this time it says that God appointed him. And so divine appointment is in this lineage of Seth. He is appointed by the Lord to replace Abel as this line by which the offspring would come through. And so Cain's family could boast of many accomplishments, but Seth's was appointed by the Lord. And so this reminds us what God can do for us is far greater than what you can do for yourself. And we see this in Seth's line. And so in the murder of Abel, Adam and Eve began to see the hostility between the snake's brood and the woman's seed, and it is coming to bear in their lives. And this is what the Lord has said to them, that this thing would come about, that the snake and the woman's seed would be at war. And we see this playing out in their lineage. But through the line of Seth, the snake crusher will come. And so I want to read from Luke 3:38, as I said from the beginning, those genealogies matter. And so in Luke 3:38, as it's going through the genealogy of Christ, it gets down to this point and it says this: the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. And so what we learn here is through this man Seth, who is appointed by the Lord to be born in replacement of Abel, is the lineage by which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would come through. And so again, as I said, those genealogies matter, because there's a connection point from here all the way to Christ, and God sustains this lineage through this person, through this man Seth. And then look how it talks about his family, because his family is in contrast, which will be more in chapter 5, but it begins here with his first son, as it's in contrast to Cain's lineage. And it says, to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Man. Despite all of the ravages of sin, it's spreading through the generations, it's violence, it's vengeance, it's murderous rage, it's isolation, and anxiety-inducing, people can still know God.
Yeah.
Even despite all of this, God can still be known, and what a word for us today. As we struggle to see the work of God within our own lives, as we struggle to see the work of God around us and the darkness and brokenness in the world that we live, even in this day, God could be known, and he can still be known today. And so while Cain's lineage pioneered civilizations and cities, Seth's offspring pioneers worship.
Yeah.
And listen, as I said, with Moses writing this letter to the people of Israel, as they were in a dark and difficult time in the wilderness, he is reminding them that the worship of the Lord was not something new. It has been since the beginning. And so I want to read this from, there's a book by the name of a man by the name of Jim Cimbala. He writes on this very section, and he says this, and I think it is helpful and instructive for us tonight. So speaking of Genesis 4:26, where it says, at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. He says this. Think about that. Until then, people had known God mainly as creator. He had made the Garden of Eden and the rest of the world as far as their eyes could see. Now became the beginning of the first collective relationship with the Almighty. Before a Bible was available, before the first preacher was ordained or the first choir formed, a godly strain of men and women distinguished themselves from their ungodly neighbors by calling on the Lord.
Yeah.
Cain and his posterity had gone their own way, independent of God. By contrast, these people affirmed their dependence on God by calling out to him. In fact, God's people were not called Jews or the children of Israel or Hebrews first. In the very beginning, their original name was those who call on the name of the Lord.
Wow.
This is how God's people have been named from the beginning. So I want to read a couple of passages as we see this phrase throughout the scriptures. In Genesis, you're going to see it multiple times with Abraham, but often it's going to say that he had built an altar, and at that time he called upon the name of the Lord. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, in the midst of telling them to tell your God to do such and such a thing, he says this to them, and you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And so in a time to show who truly is God is demonstrated by who answers when they call.
That's good.
In Psalm 116, 12 through 13, it says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the call of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Because the Lord speaks of after he places judgment on the nations, he then brings in the nations. In Zephaniah 3:9, it says, for at that time, I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. And then in Romans 10:13, it says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, look how he introduces his letter. He says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus." Look what he says. "Called to be saints together with all of those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." And so this evening, the main identifier of the people of God throughout time has been this singular thing. There are people who are dependent upon him, who call upon his name. And so tonight, if that is not your story, call upon his name. Yeah. Yeah. He hears. He is here for us. And we can call upon him because, as we see with the Lord, he is the one who has bore our sins, so we can call upon his name. Yeah. He is the one who stood in our place, and so we can call upon his name. Yeah. He is the one who has risen from the grave and seated on the throne, and his name is exalted above every name, and no other name under heaven may we be saved. And so we call upon that name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, New City Fellowship, only thing, my aim and my desire, my prayer for you, is that you don't seek out success and fame within yourself.
Yeah.
But that you may be known as a people. And people hear the name of this church, they say they know their God.
Yes.
They are dependent upon him. They cry out to him. They are looking to him in all things and everything and for his glory. And so that is my prayer for you, is that you're not self-seeking, but you are collectively throughout all time, as we've seen, joining in with the worship and crying out and calling upon the name of the only one who could save, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah,
Let's pray.
Yeah.